Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Lamed. We left off, or Elisha left off yesterday, on the top line of Daf Lamed Amr Aleph. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and L'Zeicha Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Alei HaShalom. We thank him very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi shiur each and every day. So what we are going to discuss today, it's a very famous daf. The Gemara is going to talk about the requirement that one has to teach his children Torah, and perhaps even a requirement to teach one's grandchildren Torah, and to what extent that requirement goes. Then the Gemara is going to talk about our own learning, what a learning schedule should look like, how much Tanakh, how much Mishnayis, how much Gemara. The Gemara is going to also talk about what the midpoint is of the Chumash, as well as of Sefer Tehillim, and whether we are fully familiar with exactly all of the letters of the Chumash. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about Torah and the Yetzer Hara, and we're going to state four things about the Yetzer Hara, and give advice about how one can defeat the Yetzer Hara. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the source of each of a father's chiyuvim toward his son. That's going to be toward the second half of Amud Beis. And then we're going to discuss Kibra Ve'em. We're going to start the sugya of Kibra Ve'em, which goes well into tomorrow's daf, Be'ezras Hashem. So let's begin with the very top line of daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Amr Le Rava L'Rav Nassim Bar Ami. So says the Gemara, Amr Le Rava L'Rav Nassim Bar Ami, Adi Yadoch Al Tzavarei Debrich, while your hand is still on your son's neck, which means while you're still in control of your children, you should be careful to make sure to give them proper mussar and to guide them appropriately. And that means mishitzar v'yadeshim v'tarti, that from the age of 16 until the age of 22, where a person is still developing and they're still deciding on their life's path, that's the most influential time. That's the time where you have to be super careful about the influences in a person's life. V'amrila mitim nisrei v'yadeshim v'arba'a, and others say from the age of 18 until the age of 24. So says the Mar Kitanai, that by the way, those ages being such impressionable times, right? That's the argument that people sometimes say a person's going to work in a secular world, and they're going to be, so why not go to a secular college on a secular campus? Aside from the moral depravity that you have in many of these places, it's those are times where a person is very, very, very influenced. So that's a time where a person has to be very careful about what the influences are. So Kitanai, the Gemara says it's these two age brackets reflect two opinions in Tanaim about that relate to a pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk says Chanoch l'nar al pi darko, and the pasuk of course continues Gam ki yaskin lo yasser mimena, that the way a person behaves when they're or is trained when they are young is going to determine how they behave when they're older. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya discuss what the age of Na'ar is, that Chanoch L'Na'ar al Pi Darko. Chad Omar, one says Mishitzar V'Adesu Mitartin, that it's also between the ages of 16 and 22. V'Chad Omar Mitim Nisrei V'Adesu Marba'a, that it's between the ages of 18 and 24. Period. So now the Gemara says Arechal Chayav Adam L'Lamed Espino Torah. What exactly is the shear of the Chiyuv of being Malamed one's child Torah? What's included in that Chiyuv? Amar Abidam Shmuel Kagon Zvulun Ben Dan, that one should do like Zvulun ben Dan. Who is Zvulun ben Dan? So Rashi tells us that he was Chacham in the days of the Talmud. That we don't know really much about him, other than the fact that he's someone the Gemara gave as an example. And Shelimdo Avi Aviv Mikra Mishnah Talmud Alach Svagados, and his grandfather taught him all of this. He taught him Mikra Mishnah Talmud Halachos and Agados. So Meisve asked the Gemara, really, that's what you have to do? You have to teach all of these different things. Limdo Mikra Ein Melamdo Mishnah, but the Braisa tells us that a father who taught his child Mikra has already been Yotzei his Chiyuv and does not have to teach him Mishnah as well. The child, once he learns Mikra, should be able to teach himself Mishnah and should be able to hire a Rebbe for himself to teach him all the other things. V'yama Rava Mikra Zu Torah, and Rava explains that Mikra means Torah alone. It doesn't even include Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? Rashi writes Torah, velo Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That Mikra includes only Torah and not Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It's interesting because sometimes the Gemara sounds not that way, right? Sometimes the Gemara sounds like Mikra means Nevi'im and Ksuvim as well, especially later on this very daf where the Gemara is going to say that a person in Lom Yishalish Adam Shos, a person should split his learning time into three parts. Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishnah, Shlish b'Talmud. So it's hard to imagine that Mikra means not Nevi'im and Ksuvim over there, because then it means you're only learning Chumash and you're not learning Nevi'im and Ksuvim at all, because the one third of your day is only in Chumash, and then you jump straight to Mishnah. So probably over there it means Mikra Mishnah, it means Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So why is it that sometimes Mikra means only Torah and sometimes Mikra means Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Hakdama to the Emes Liakov, in his Mavo to the Sefer Emes Liakov, has a very nice explanation of this, where he explains that Mikra means that which is read from a text, as opposed to that which is done Bal Peh. And the word Mikra means reading, so it's all a relative term, that all of Tanakh is Torah Shebichsav, and therefore it's read from a text. And therefore, it's all of Tanakh is more Mikra than all of Mishnah is, and than all of Talmud is, because you have a text of it that you're supposed to read. Now, within Tanakh, Chumash is more of a Mikra than Nevi'im and Ksuvim, because Rabbi Yaakov explains, when it comes to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, if you just read the words without understanding any of them, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because when it comes to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, these are messages that were delivered through the Navi, but the Navi only saw a vision, and then he put it into his own words. The key is the understanding. The key is the vision. The words don't have the inherent Kedusha, because those are the words of the Navi, not the words of Hashem, as opposed to the Chumash itself, where the words themselves have Kedusha, because the words themselves, word for word, letter for letter, are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, if you just read Chumash without even understanding it, it's certainly not the highest level of Talmud Torah, but it is a kiyum of Talmud Torah, meaning if a person could just read the words, there's some level of a kiyum of Talmud Torah. And that's how Rabbi Yaakov explains. That's probably why we have a requirement, not of Echad Mikra ve'Echad Targum, but Shnayim Mikra ve'Echad Targum, to reflect the two levels of Talmud Torah inherent in learning Chumash. That one time you read it through, just reading it, and then a second time you read it together with Targum, to show that there's value in reading it even without understanding it. But then we strive for a higher level of Talmud, which is to read it with the Targum, to understand it as well when we read it. So Rabbi Yaakov says, halach l'maisa, that it would turn out that there's a machloka. We know there's a machloka, how to do Shnayim Mikra. Should you do Pasuk, Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk, Pasuk, Targum? Or should you do Parsha, Parsha, and then Targum and the whole Parsha? So he says, maybe you should do Parsha, and then Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk, Targum. Because when you read the whole Parsha, you're just showing that there's Mikra, that I'm just reading it, even without understanding it. And then you do Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk, Targum, to show that each Pasuk I'm trying to understand as well, on that higher level of the Talmud Torah. But anyway, the Bryce over here says that once you taught your child Mikra, you don't have to teach a Mishnah. And Mikra is defined as Torah. So how can you say that everyone's obligated to do what Zvulun Ben Dun did, or was taught, which is to learn everything, that Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachos, V'Agados? So says Mar, no, because Zvulun Ben Dun, velo Zvulun Ben Dun. Partially like Zvulun Ben Dun, because Zvulun Ben Dun shalim do avi aviv. That one is supposed to teach his child Torah to the extent of Zvulun Ben Dun, in that it wasn't just a one generation thing, that he took responsibility for the grandchild as well. Velokas Vulun Bendan Dilu Hasam Mikra Mishav Talmud Alachs Vagados Diluhacha Mikra Levad. But it's unlike Zvulun Bendan in the extent to which a person has to teach. That in the case of Zvulun Bendan, the grandfather taught him everything, so you don't have to do that. You only have to teach a child Mikra. It's not necessary to teach him more than Mikra. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yerdeh, that's referring to a father who doesn't have very much time. He doesn't have much time to learn on his own, and he doesn't have a lot of time to learn with his kid. But if he has the ability to teach him Mikra Halachos, Mishnah Halachos V'Agados, so Matov Manoim, that's even better. The father should try to do that. Meaning, we're told about Zvulun Ben Dun doing all of that to show what an ideal would look like, what it would be if we were able to learn more with our children. So now, but the bare minimum requirement is Mikra. Sefer. So I asked the Gemara, the Avi Aviv Mimchaev, is that true that a grandfather has an obligation to teach his grandson Torah? V'atanya, but doesn't the Braisa tell us, so v'lo b'nei b'neichem, it says you have to teach your son, and don't we darshan from that a son, and that's it, not grandson. Umani Mekayim, so that what then would I do with the Pasuk, v'odatam l'vanecha v'livnei v'anecha? Lomer l'cha shekal melaminis, b'no Torah, ma'la l'vakasav, ki l'limdo lo l'bno l'bno l'tzav kaladoros. That's just to tell me that when you teach your son, you are transmitting a Mesorah that hopefully will be transmitted beyond just your son, to the generation after and the generation that follows that, ad sof kaladoros, that we're going to keep that Mesorah going, that each parent has to view it as his responsibility, his primary responsibility, to make sure that that the Mesorah doesn't break with him, that the Mesorah gets passed on to the next generation. And that will, we're part of a very long chain, and we try to continue that very long chain. That's why when they asked Rav Shechter what his greatest accomplishment in life has been, he said that I'm part of this very long chain, and it didn't break with me, that my children are also they're all keeping to this Mesorah that goes back to Har Sinai. So with everything else, with all the other accomplishments one has in his life, that's got to be the primary goal. So answers the Gemara, Hu da Amar Ki Aitana, meaning the Gemara is asking, is it really a chiyuv for a grandfather to teach a grandson Torah? Doesn't it say b'neichem and not b'nei b'neichem? So answers the Gemara, no, Hu da Amar Ki Aitana. When Shmuel says that a grandfather does have to teach your grandson Torah, he's assuming like the following Tana. From the Pasuk Enechanami, you're right, I only see they have to teach B'nechem. How do I know B'nei B'nechem as well? Tamalomer v'adatam l'vanecha v'livnei v'anecha. Say, imkein matamalom b'nechem, but if that Pasuk tells me it's got to be grandchildren as well, so why does the Torah only say B'nechem? B'nechem v'lo b'noseichem. B'nechem is not to exclude grandchildren, it's to exclude daughters, that there's no obligation to teach a daughter Torah. So it says, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, kol melamed is ben b'no Torah. If one teaches his grandson Torah, ma'al v'kasav ki l'kiblu me'ar Sinai, the Torah considers it as if the grandson has received the Torah from Har Sinai. Shnemar v'adatam v'necha v'levnei v'necha v'samach lei, and then in the pasuk right near it, it says, Yom Asher Amat l'fnei Hashem Elokecha b'chorev. So we darshan that when you teach b'nei b'necha, it's as if they received it from Har Sinai, because they've skipped a generation up that chain. So it's as if they got it from an earlier generation going back to Har Sinai. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Ashkel Rabbi Shua ben Levi Deshadi Disna Areshe. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba saw that Rabbi Shua ben Levi just quickly put a yarmulke on his head without putting on a proper turban and proper atifas harosh. And he ran his child off to the local Beis HaKnesses to learn Torah. So Amalei. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked him, "My kulei hai, why are you in such a rush that you don't even get yourself, pull yourself together properly before leaving the house?" So Amalei, he said, "Do you realize the importance of what I'm doing? That I'm bringing the child to learn Torah? Now that's a critically important thing. We learned that back in Sota Daf Chaf Aleph, that Nashim B'mezachyon, we spoke about being Molich B'neim L'Talmud Torah. That so we thought that that's like sometimes you get the impression from that Gemara, but that's not really such a big deal. Meaning, so if a person's not chayiv in Talmud Torah, so there's some level of participation in the mitzvah by bringing your children to Talmud Torah. But no, you see, even for the Gedolei Amoraim, that was considered a very big Inyan, to bring the child to Talmud Torah, that it's a great zuchus. People can view carpool as a nuisance, or they can view carpool as something that's a gevaldik zuchus that the Amoraim were excited to do, and they didn't even get fully dressed with their hat on before they went and did. So mikan ve'elach, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba lo toyim umtza. From that moment on, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was so inspired by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that he was so inspired by Rabbi Shimon Levi that he wouldn't taste even a little bit. They used to have a little bit of meat in the morning, I imagine, not like a lavish feast, but a little tiny bit of meat to put in their mouth in the morning. So he wouldn't have his breakfast piece of meat, ademakrili yinuka umosfe, until he would teach his child and then teach him something new beyond the previous day's learning. Rabbi Barafuna lo toy mumsa ademaisi yinuka lebeis midrasha, and Rabbi Barafuna wouldn't have his breakfast until he brought his child to the Beis Medrash, that was always considered the top priority of the morning. So now the Gemara brings a halacha as far as a person's own Seder Limud. What does the Pasuk teach me when it says Vishinantam Levanecha? So the Torah is telling us not only Vishinantam but also Vishilashtam, that we should divide the day up into three parts. Li'olam Yishalish Adam Shnosav, a person should split up his years on this earth in terms of his learning schedule. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, v'shlish b'talmud. One third learning mikra, one third learning mishnah. Now the Rambam in Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halachi Ralf, as we alluded to before, says that mikra over here means Tanakh, means Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and shlish b'mishnah, one third learning mishnah, which the Rambam defines as the core of Torah Shebal Peh, and shlish b'talmud, and that's how the Rambam defines using the midah shatar and dresh ben to derive other halachas. So says Gemara, how does a person know how to make that division? Mi yada kamachai. Does a person know how long he's going to live, that he's going to be able to say, well, if I'm going to live for 90 years, so for the first 30 years I'll do Mikra, the next 30 years I'll do Mishnah, and the next 30 years I'll do Talmud. What if he dies when he's 70? What if he lives till he's 110? What's he going to do with those extra 20 years now? Right? So it's impossible for a person to know this. So says Gemara, lo tzricha liyomi. It doesn't mean to divide your years, it means to divide liyomi. So what does it mean, liyomi? So Rashi says liyomi means the days of the week. That let's say Sunday and Monday you learn Mishnah, Tuesday and Wednesday Mikra, Tuesday and Wednesday you learn Mishnah, and Thursday and Friday you learn Talmud, and Shabbos you'll do Chazar or something like that. So Tos says v'lo nihira. Tos in Dibra Maskalo, he says dimkein akati avamatzi lemifrak miyad kamachai, because then you still have the same kasha. What if a person dies on a Wednesday? So then everything is going to be all out of whack. L'chara, it's not such a strong kasha, because meaning if you live enough years, how out of whack will it be? Meaning it's just it's going to be 1 week schedule. It's going to be a little bit off. So the Tosfos says, that each and every day a person should divide. He says, and that's why we have in our Sidurim before Pesukim Dezimra a section of Mikra, which we read the Parsha of the Korban Tamid and the Ketores, certain Korbanos, a section of Mishnah, Ezim Korban, and a section of Gemara, which is Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, which is the section of Gemara. So when a person is trying to prioritize, Salach al-Maisa, a person is trying to prioritize what to say in the morning in terms of Karbanos, most shuls do not give you enough time, ours included, to say all of the Karbanos. So what should you prioritize? So certainly the thing you have to prioritize the most is the Parsha of the Tamid. Right, and then second up would be the psukim of the Ketores, not the whole Torah Shebal Peh of the Ketores, but at least the psukim of the Ketores. Third down on the list, Rav Shechter pointed out, would be the Mishnah Dalit in Ezu Mekomen, which talks about the Olah, which might be the Tamid. So you want to, if you're going to read, you can't read the whole parak of Mishnah, if you can read a Mishnah, let it be that Mishnah, and then probably Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, so you get Mikra Mishnah and Talmud. So and then if you have more time, you try to say more. Certainly try to say the entire parak of Mishnah, but that's a bare minimum. So anyway, so that's Tosfos says we dafka have it in our siddur like that, in case a person doesn't get a chance to really properly divide his day, at least you have a little bit of Mikra Mishnah and Talmud in your day. Rabbeinu Tam Pirush, but then Tosfos famously quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Shadu Som Chalad Amarim B'Sanhedrin, Bavel Balul Mikra Mishnah B'Gemara, the Gemara's Bavel Balul Mikulam, that the minag in yeshivas of learning so much Talmud Bavli and not so much of anything else is based on what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that Talmud Bavli is actually not just Talmud. Talmud Bavli has Mikra, it has Mishnah, it has Talmud, so Sisson incorporates everything. When you learn enough Talmud Bavli, you're getting your fill of Mikra Mishnah and Talmud. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in that same piece that's assuming you've already once learned all of Mikra and all of Mishnah, because you're certainly not going to get all of Tanakh if you learn Talmud Bavli. You're going to get a little bit of some psukim quoted and some Mishnah is quoted. So a person has to first learn Tanakh and then see what it actually says in the Tanakh, and see what it actually says in the Mishnayos, and then to fulfill this element of every day having a little taste of everything, that one can do Talmud Bavli. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam means. Anyway, the Fichach Nukru Rishonim Sofrim. That's why the original Chachamim of earlier generations are referred to as Sofrim. The Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Rashi points out, says Umishpachos Sofrim Yoshve Yabeitz. So Shayu Sofrim Kolosi Shabbat Torah. The reason they're called Sofrim is because they knew how to count all the letters of the Torah. Gemara, Shayu Omrim, they would tell us that Vav de Gachon, the letter Vav, in the Pasuk in Vayikra Yiralf Membeis, called Holich al Gachon, Chetzin Shalos Yishal Sefer Torah, is the midway point of the letters of the Torah. Derosh Darash, in the Pasuk, Vayikra Yud Tezayin Vesir, Chatas Derosh Darash Moshe, Chetzin Shal Tevos, is the midway point of the words of the Torah. Vihiskalach, in the Pasuk of Vihiskalach, in Vayikra Yud Gimel Lamed Gimel, Vihiskalach Vesanesek Velo Yigaleach, Shal Psukim, that's the Chetzin Shal Psukim, that's the midway point of the Psukim of the Torah. As far as Tehillim, Yicharsimena Chazim Ya'ar, Ayin, the Ya'ar, the Ayin of the word Ya'ar is Chetzin Shal Tehillim, is the halfway point of the letters of Tehillim. V'hurachum Yichaper Avon, in Tehillim Perak Ayin Ches, Chetzin the Psukim, is the halfway point, the midway point of the Psukim, Sefer Tehillim. So by Rav Yosef, Vav de Gachon, Mehai Gisa, Mehai Gisa. We said that Vav de Gachon is the halfway point of the letters of the Chumash, but is it the last letter of the first half of Chumash or the first letter of the second half of Chumash? We're assuming that there's an even number of letters in Chumash, not an odd number of letters. If there were an odd number of letters, then we would say, okay, it's Mamish, the midpoint, it's the middle one. But we're assuming there's an even number of letters, so it's either got to be the letter in the first half or the first letter in the second half. So Amar Leis, Abai responded, Nesi Sefer Torah v'nimninu. Well, there's one way to find out. Bring a Sefer Torah, let's start counting the letters and we'll figure it out. So Milo Amar Rabbi Bar Bechana, after all, didn't Rabbi Bar Bechana tell us about a similar maisa that once happened, that v'lo zozim yishamat sheviyu Sefer Torah m'na'um, that one time they actually brought a Sefer Torah and they counted it? Rashi writes, I don't know when this maisa happened, what we're referring to over here, but apparently there was some known maisa where they brought a Sefer Torah and counted the letters of the Torah. So Amar Leis, Rav Yosef responded, in who the Chacham of previous generation Bekiv they knew, they were experts in every chaser and yeser in the Torah, every extra hey or yud or whatever vav that makes the letter more full or less full. And not lebekinon, but we're not such experts. So even if we count, we don't have the confidence that our Sifrei Torah are perfect in that sense. We do believe we have every word and that we have the pronunciation of every word and all of that. But as far as the spelling of every word, exactly how it's spelled, we don't believe that we're experts in the chaseros v'yaseros. So the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility that we are Bekiyim B'chaseros V'yaseros in those parshios of the Torah that we use for other mitzvahs, meaning in the parshios of Tefillin, in the parsha of Mezuzah, that maybe we are Bekiyim B'chaseros V'yaseros, because if you're missing one letter there, it will passel the whole thing. So by the Sifrei Torah, maybe it's not so. Maybe if you're missing Chaseros V'yaseros, maybe it doesn't passel the Sifrei Torah. The implication of the Ramban in his Hakdamah, his commentary on the Chumash, is that even if you're missing Chaseros V'yaseros, it's going to pass the Sefer Torah. That's what the Shagas Aryeh suggests. Maybe that's why, even though the mitzvah Taryag, the last mitzvah in the Torah, is Kisvul Chames Shira Zosis, to write a Sefer Torah, many very from Erlucha people go through their whole life and never fulfill that mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah. So the Limud Zchus is because we can't do it anyway. We're not Bekin, but Chaseros V'yaseros, so we never know when we're actually in fulfillment of that mitzvah. Meaning when we write a Sefer Torah, we might still not be in fulfillment of that mitzvah. If you assume that you need to get all the chaseros v'yaseros right in order to fulfill the mitzvah of ksivas sefer Torah, so now the Gemara says, "By Rav Yosef, v'hiskalach, the pasuk of hiskalach that we said is the halfway point of psukim, mehaygisa mehaygisa. Is it the last pasuk of the first half or the first pasuk of the second half? Amalei abay psukim be alai to l'menuye. Okay, you want to tell me we're not pekin b'chaseros v'yaseros?" But we do know what all the psukim are, so that we should be able to count. We should be able to count the psukim. So says Gemara Psukinami lo b'kiina. Nah, we're not such b'kiim in the psukim either. The chiyasa Ravacha Barada, when Ravacha Barada came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar b'Marava paski le'lahai krol l'tlas psukim. He reported that in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they would divide the following pasuk into three psukim, even though we only have it as one pasuk. Vayomer Shabbos Moshe hinei anochi ba elecha ba'ava anan, and that was one pasuk. Then he had Bavur Yishma Am B'Dabri Yimach V'Gam B'Chaya Minu Liolam as a second pasuk, and Vayagid Moshe as Divrei Am El Hashem as a third pasuk. So apparently we don't have a precise mesora as to where the pasukim begin and end. So Mela, we don't know the number of pasukim in the Torah. So the Brisa, the counts the pasukim of the Torah, that we have a Brisa now that counts the pasukim of the Torah, Tehillim and Divrei Yamin. Torah Ban Chamesha Salafim Ushmona Meos Ushmona Mushmona Psukim Havu Psuki Sefer Torah, that there are 5,888 psukim in the Chumash, in the Torah itself. So the Rishonim all point out, no, there aren't. It doesn't conform to what we have as far as the Pesukim in the Torah. So that Shiloh, that Kasha was sent to Rav Haigon, and he responded that the number of Pesukim there were alternate versions of where to divide up the Pesukim and Ein Echirami. That's what the Gemara assumed, against what we assume in our Masorah. The Ben Yoyada says this Brisa is Meshubeshes. We're not sure. There must be other Girsos in the Brisa. But anyway, that's the Chumash. Yasser Olav Tilim Shmona. Tilim has eight more Pesukim than that. Chasim Menu Divrayam Shmona. And Divrayam has eight fewer Pesukim than that. So now we have another Brisa. How does a person come to know Torah? Tanura, or to what extent does a person have to know Torah? Tanur Rabban, the Brisa tells us, Vishinantam, the word Vishinantam teaches us, Shidivri Torah mechudad beficha, that the Divri Torah should be fluent in our mouths, Shem Yishal Chadam Davra al Tagamni Mitomerlo, Elamorlo Miyad, that if someone asks you something in learning, you shouldn't stumble and say it to him, you should be able to respond just like that, to respond immediately. Shinamar, because the Pasuk says, Amorlo Chachma Achosiat, that you should say to Chachma Achosiat, that you should be a baki in halacha and in Torah, as much as we're an expert in the halacha, that our sister is asitas, meaning the most basic halacha in Hilchos Arayos that we're all familiar with, we should be just as expert in every other area of the Torah. Tosfos points out, wait a second, you're supposed to respond right away when someone asks you in learning. Doesn't the Gemara in Bamitzia tell us that Atzur Rabban Mishani B'Diburi B'Mesechta, that one of the things that Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about is his learning, that if they ask him if he learned something, he could say, I don't know it. So he says, yeah, that's it. I just want to know how impressive you are and how much Torah you know. So he could say, no, I don't know it. But if someone needs to learn and you have the ability to teach them, or someone needs to know a psak halacha, so then you should respond immediately. Tell them whether you should be familiar enough. They should be able to respond immediately. Va'omer, and it also says, Kashrei malas bosecha, kashrei maluach libecha, that the Divrei Torah have to be so fluent in our mouths until it's viewed as if it's tied onto our fingers and it's written on our hearts. Va'omer, and another pasuk implies the same thing, kichitzim biad gibor, kein b'nei ha'orim, that talmidim have to be so clear in their learning, like the arrows are available to the warrior, meaning that he just pulls it out of his the bag. Oh, there's a name for that bag that carries the arrows. So too, he should be able to recall the words of Torah immediately. Va'omer, and there's another pasuk, chitzim gibor shenunim, va'omer chetzka shenunim amim tachtecha yiplu, that the arrows that you should be sharp and therefore should fell the enemies. The Omer and the pasuk and the pasuk also says Ashrei Hagever Asher Milias Hashpasu Mehem Lo Yevoshu Ki Dabros Oivim B'Sha'ar, that the Rebbe is praised that he fills his bag with arrows. He has a lot of talmidim that are sharp as arrows as well, and that's a very good thing. Mayas Oivim B'Sha'ar. What's the mashmos of the pasuk as oivim b'shar? Why do we refer to people who are learning Torah as enemies in the gate? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, afilu avu b'no, ravu talmido, because even if you have a Rebbe and his Talmud, or a father and his son, sha'oskim b'Torah b'shar echa, that are learning Torah together in the same base medrash, and they ask kashas on each other, and they argue with each other, nasim oivim ze'ezeh, they become like enemies one to the other, meaning they're fighting so hard in learning that they become, it looks like they're fighting, it looks like their enemies, but by the time they get up from their learning, they become like best friends. It's an experience, it's a bonding experience, it brings them closer and creates an even more deeper sense of love between them. Shenamar, because the pasuk describes the nisim that were done as we were heading to Eretz Yisrael, Esva hev besufa. So al tikri besufa elu besofa. So don't read it as besufa, like which means by the yamsuf, but rather besofa. That at the end of the milchama, over the sefer, over the Torah, there's going to be a sense of ahava. There's going to be an enhanced sense of love. Rav Shachter always loves to quote the memoir that a non-Jew who happened to have been stuck on the same train as the Mir Yeshiva when they were running to Shanghai. So he wrote memoirs of what he experienced and what he saw. So in the memoir he writes that there were all these Jewish boys, and they would take out these gigantic books, they would open the books, and they would start yelling at each other, and they hated each other, and they would start screaming at each other, and I was afraid terrible fights were going to break out. And then they would close the books, and they were best friends. And he didn't understand exactly what was going on, but what was going on Ran was Esfeh Besufa. That in the act of learning, there's fighting and there's arguing and there's yelling and then as soon as it's over, that experience is a bonding experience and they love each other even more. Tanur Rabbanan. We have a brisa that describes how to deal with the Yetzer Hara. V'samtam, Pasuk says, V'samtam, samtam. We understand it as a perfect medicine. Nimshla Torah kisam chayim. The Torah is an elixir of life. Mashal adam shikas b'no maka gedola. So mashal is like someone wounded his child. V'niach l'ritia al makaso. And he puts a bandage or some sort of medication on the wound. V'amrlo, and he says, B'ni, kol zman sh'ritia zo al makaska. As long as this band, the wound is dressed and it's protected. Echol masha nascha, say masha nascha. You can eat whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. You don't have to be so careful about how you behave. Ruchos be'mecham be'mitzonin. You can bathe in warm water or cold water. Ve'enatam yisari, and you have nothing to fear because the wound is protected. But ve'matam avira, if you take off this dressing of the wound, harei malagomi, then it's going to cause it to boil up, and you're going to have an infection. So kach kodesh baruch hu. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Kal Yisrael, Banai, Barasi Yetzer Hara, I created the Yetzer Hara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin, and the Torah is the refuah for this Makkah called the Yetzer Hara. If you engage in Torah, then you're not going to be given over to the Yetzer Hara. Shnemar, Halom Tetiv Se'es, V'imena Tamoskim Torah, but if you don't engage in Torah, Atam Nimsarim Biyado, you will be given over to the Yetzer Hara. Shnemar, L'Pesach Chatas Roveitz, that the Yetzer Hara crouches at the door waiting for an opportunity, and his every effort is to try to get you. That his desire is toward you. But if you want, you can rule over him. So four things about the Yetzer Hara. First of all, he's so bad that even his own creator calls him evil. Normally, people among human beings, we like what we create, and we have a special affinity for things that we create. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara and calls him evil. Second teaching about the Yetzer Hara, he comes at us every single day. Shnemar, Rak Ra, Kol Hayom. V'amar Rav Shimon Levi, a third teaching about the Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Shalad Meskaber Lo B'chol Yom, U'mevakesh Hamiso. He tries to kill us. Shnemar Tzofa Rosh L'Tzadik, U'mevakesh L'Hamiso, the Pasuk says until him. V'lmolish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, Ein Yachlo. And without the Siyata D'Shmaya, we would not be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That the koch of the Yetzer Hara is so great that Kadosh Baruch Hu will not allow a person should not be left alone with the Yetzer Hara. He won't leave you alone to fight him. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you. And then Tanya Rabbi Shmuel taught a fourth teaching about the Yetzer Hara, Bini, that he said, my child, if this manuvel comes after you, mashchel lebeis medrash, slap him to the beis medrash and start learning Torah. So how is that going to help? Im Evan, who if the Yetzer Hara is hard like rock, so nimoach, so then he's going to fall apart. He's going to melt. V'im Barzel, who, and if he's like iron, mispotates, he's going to shatter. Shnemar halo kol dvarai ke'esh, nu mashemu kapatish yipotet tzela. Im Evan, who nimoach, shnemar, hay kol tzmei l'chulu mayim, v'om ravonim shachaku mayim. And I know that if he's like stone, he's also going to fall apart because the Pasuk says, you go to water. Anyone thirsty should go to water, which is a reference to Torah. And water will destroy a rock over time. That slow drip, like Rabbi Akiva saw, will ultimately cause the rock to fall apart as well. So now the Braisa tells us as follows, that a person, one of the chiyuvim that a father has to do for his son is lasio isha, is to get him married to a woman. So minalan, where do I know that there's such a chiyuv? D'chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Yirmiyahu sends a message to Am Yisrael that are in Babel to tell them that the Golus is going to last a while. So he says, "Chunashim v'lidubanim ubanos chulivnechem nashim esmanosechem tunula nashim." That don't stop having weddings. Make sure that your family life continues and that you take wives for your children. So says Rav Bishlam biyado. I understand that it's biyad the father to find a woman for his son. Elabito biyadoi, but for his daughter, is that something that's biyado to find a man? And for his daughter, it's not the norm for a woman to go look for a man. It's the norm in the opposite way, for the man to go look for the woman. So hachi karmilu nita lamidi v'levashiv v'nechasya keichidukavtzala inshi. You should give her enough of a dowry that people people will be interested in marrying her. Lamda umnus minalan. How do I know that you should teach him umnus? Amr chizkiya damakra re'ichayim im isha asher ahavta. Im isha mamishi k'shem shechayv lasiyu isha kachayv lamda umnus. If it means an isha mamish, so we're comparing the two. Just like you have to give him a wife, you have to teach him a profession. And if it refers to Torah, k'shem shechayv lamda Torah, kachayv lamda umnus. Just like you have to teach him Torah, you have to teach him umnus. V'yesh omrim aflas shito benarin. Some say you have to teach him to swim as well. So my time, because that's a survival skill. Rabbi Yudomer kol sheinu melamdo umnus melamdo listus. That if you don't teach him umnus, it's as if you're teaching him listus. So listus al kadech, you're teaching him to rab elakilu melamdo listus. It's as if you're teaching him to rab. My binai, what's Rabbi Yudah adding that Tanakama didn't say? Ikbinai the agamri iska. The nafkamina between them is if you teach him business practices, but you don't give him an actual profession. So is that good enough? That's the machlokas tanoim over here. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots in the beginning of the very wide lines. Everyone have a wonderful day.